Why do they have this challenge? So as I'm sure anyone who follows the news knows, sometime in the next 2 months, there's supposed to be re-elections of Beit Shemesh. And I wasn't really involved in the court case or pushing to go to court. But at that time, someone said to me, how can you disclose the fact that there was fraud? It's a Chilul Hashem. The whole world is going to hear the religious Jews are involved in election fraud. And the truth is that I didn't think it was really a valid question. However, as I pointed out today, looking around, I didn't see much discussion on this issue. That's why I decided to give a share on this topic. But this topic is not only limited to election fraud, it's limited to many topics, many situations, many events that happen within the religious Jewish community, right, that if we have to try to correct, there's going to be public disclosure, and it could potentially cause somewhat of a Chilul Hashem. For example, the last time before the elections, I heard this complaint, this defense, was when I was involved in an organization that was starting to deal with issues of helping children and families deal with molestation issues. And someone said to me, how can you go public? It's a Chilul Hashem that people should think that in the Torah world, there's actual molestation going on. So staying away from that, I would just like to speak about this topic, public disclosure, Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. The truth is, it's really clear cut, but I'd like to go through the issues just to see. My father pointed out many, many years ago, probably in the early 70s, that if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Perakei Halachi Yud Aleph, Rambam gives very clear parameters of what is a Chilul Hashem and what is a Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem basically means desecrating the name of God. So what it means, and actually I will show, I'll point this out, the Rambam will say, is that a person will look and say, wow, this is the way the Jews act. I don't want any part of this nation or the Torah. That's what a Chilul Hashem is. And a Kiddush Hashem is just the opposite. When someone goes ahead and sees a Jew who is a Shomer Torah Mitzvos and acts properly, they say, wow, the Jewish people are very special. It's wonderful to have a connection to this nation. That would be the definition of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. And that, therefore, obviously, you know, if there's going to be a public disclosure that there was election fraud in a certain city, and people say in a certain city where there are religious Jews, this happens, this is what the Torah teaches us, we don't want any part of this religion. So the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Perek Hei Halachi Yud Aleph, starts off. Now, I'll just tell you that there is also another definition of Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, and that is, I would say, actually a much more narrow definition, that if there are certain times we have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and give up our life for our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Those times do not come up that often, thank God, but they do come up. For example, if someone is going to force us to try to violate the Torah, for various reasons. For example, if someone would try to force any Jew to try to violate one of the three cardinal sins, idolatry, murder, or incest, then a person has to give up his life for Al Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify the name of God. He's showing that what God wants is so important, and therefore giving up my life. There are other examples also. For example, if let's say the kingdom, the government makes the rule, let's say a Jew can't keep a certain mitzvah, he can't put on tefillin. They can't keep Bris Milah, they can't keep Shabbat. So then you're supposed to give up your life for that mitzvah. Obviously, if someone is dangerously ill, you're allowed to violate Shabbat in order to save the person's life. But if the government makes a rule that you're not allowed to keep a certain mitzvah, so then you obligate to give your life. And someone who gives up his life is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and someone who does not give up his life for those situations is Mechalel Shem Shemayim. However, the Rambam at the very end then gives a much wider definition of what is Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, which apply to all of us who definitely live in better times. And the Rambam states like this: V'yesh dvarim acherim shehem v'chlal Chilul Hashem, v'hu sheyase adam gadol b'torah mufursim v'chasidus dvarim shabrius muranim v'macharav. And what's a Chilul Hashem? Someone who is considered as a gadol b'torah and is famous in chasidut, and the chasidut means that he is righteous. Dvarim that people will murmur about him for because of them. The Apalpi she'ein an averus, and even though they're not an avera, A Jew doesn't always ask, is this allowed, not allowed? A Jew has to always ask, is this proper or not proper? So, Harei Zechilas Hashem, he desecrated God's name. Kagon, Shalakach, Ve'eno Nosein Demei HaMekach La'altar. For example, someone goes to a butcher store. That's the example in the Gemara. And he buys meat, and he doesn't pay right away. He puts it on credit. And that if an important rav would do that in a place that people know, first of all, that he has the money, and second of all, that the seller wants the money immediately, that would be a chilul Hashem. V'hu sheyeshlo, v'nimtzu hamochrim tovim, v'hu makifon, o sheyir v'vischok, o v'achil v'shtia, or a person who goes ahead and likes to laugh. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with laughing, but a person does not take life seriously. Is always makes jokes of everything, that could be a chilul Hashem. Oh, bachil v'shtia, he shows how he's always involved eating and drinking. Eitz lamarz for regular people v'neihem. Oh, shidiburim brios ena v'nachas, or he does not speak pleasantly to people. V'ena makam v'sever panam yafos, he does not greet people nicely. Ela balkatata v'kas, he's a person who's always anger, and he's a baal machlokes, he's very argumentative. Uchayotzi devar me'elu, hakol lefi gadlo shel chacham, tzarech sheyedakdek al atzmo v'yasam din v'shuras hadin. So, depending on where that chacham is standing, he has to do lefnim v'shuras hadin. V'chein, im dikdek ha'chacham al atzmo. So that's a chil Hashem. Then the Rama will continue and explain what a Kiddush Hashem is. And the Rama basically says a Kiddush Hashem is a chacham who acts properly, and people are extremely impressed with this person. I'll give you an example of, I think, a classic Kiddush Hashem. I don't know if we can all do this. But it's about my father. And by the way, being a Kaddish Shem Shemayim is even amongst people who don't necessarily recognize what the God's greatness of Torah is. When I'm not sure I ever mentioned this in this forum, this story, but when my father was during Shiva, actually. My father passed away on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And usually when someone passes away on Chol HaMoed, the Shiva is delayed until after Yontif. So after that year, Yontif was on a Tuesday and Wednesday. So I guess Shiva started for my family, for myself and my family. Chutzlar really started on Wednesday, even though it was Yontif Sheni. But for the halach is, if you're a Ben Chutzlar, it's the first day of Yontif Sheni still counts as a day of Shiva. So that Sunday, someone from Chicago went to a football game at Soldier Stadium. Okay? And there he was, you know, like a Baruch Hashem, a good Jew, went to a football game, nothing wrong with football. He had a safer in his hand, because what do you do during halftime, right? And he had a safer in his hand. And during halftime, he's sitting next to this fellow, okay? And remember, I forgot, it must have been October. I'm not sure it was leap year, not a leap year. No, it wasn't a leap year. So maybe it was October already. Now, for all those who don't know, October in Chicago is pretty cold, okay? It's pretty cold, okay? And he was sitting next to a fellow who was wearing a tank top, okay? With as I was described to me, pretty big tattoos on his arms, you know, like a real muscle builder. And and this fellow, by the way, had a cup of beer in his hand, okay? Now, by the way, holding a cup of beer in your hand is a real chachma, okay? Which, in other words, that when you're holding it and you're jumping up and down during a football game, it's a real chachma to make sure that you don't spill a drop, okay? They don't teach that, at least in yeshiva I went to. But some people know very well how to handle a cup of beer during a football game. So anyways, obviously, this fellow with the sefer is wearing a yarmulke. So the guy says to him, he says, I see that you're an Orthodox Jew. You're an Orthodox Jew. He says, I really never met many Orthodox Jews. I just happen to know one. So really, who do you know? He's a big rabbi. So what's his name? His name is Rabbi Soloveitchik. So this guy was like blown away. Okay, you know, it's like, you know, he's one Jew he knows, Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he says, how do you know him? So he says, my wife is a stewardess for United Airlines. And she is a stewardess on the flight from Chicago to New York every Tuesday morning that leaves at 8:30. And this rabbi comes every Tuesday on the flight. And he's so nice. He's so polite. He speaks to my wife. He makes her feel good. He always has a smile. He says, you know, and my wife always comes back every Tuesday with stories about the rabbi. So he turns to me and says, I'm sorry to tell you, but you know, the rabbi just died. So this fellow who didn't drop a drop of beer during the first half of the game dropped his cup of beer, and he called his wife up, Right? That's a classic Kiddush Hashem. When someone looks and sees a Jew, not about how they put on tefillin, not about how they shuckle, but the way they act as a human being, as a mensch, that's a Kiddush Hashem. And if you look, the Rambam says that. The Rambam says, and this is what we should mechanech, our children. The Rambam says, and what is a Kiddush Hashem? People who speak pleasantly and when they're involved in business, they don't cheat, and they're not involved in wasting too much time. And then he goes on about wearing tefillin also. But that's a classic Kiddush Hashem. So my father pointed out in the early 70s, it's curious, the Rambam, when he states all the situations of a Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, the Rambam never states that they say something bad about the Jew. Never. The Rambam just talks about how people act. And therefore he pointed out, a Chil Hashem is defined when someone acts improperly. That's a Chil Hashem. If I'm going to speak about someone who acts improperly, it might be Lashon Hara. But it's not a Kiddush, it's not a Chil Hashem. A Chil Hashem is only when I do something improperly. But if I'm going to speak about somebody who's acting improperly, maybe the fact that I'm telling Lashon Hara is a Chil Hashem. But the fact that I'm talking about that person, the Rambam does not give that as an example. A Chil Hashem is defined by how a person acts, not by describing a person's actions. And as a matter of fact, this taina that people had, that speaking about our problems in public is the Chil Hashem, is not something which originated in our century. This originated actually from the time of Sefer Melachim. Because what happened? Eliyahu HaNavi, when the Malchus Yisrael was running Avodah Zarah, they were not keeping Torah properly. Eliyahu HaNavi decided there would be a drought. And it was a very long drought. And finally Eliyahu HaNavi appeared before Ahav the king. And if you look at source number 2, what is Ahav's first response to Eliyahu HaNavi? Vayihi kiros Ahav es Eliyahu. Achav saw Eliyahu, v'yomer Achav, v'heilav to him, atah zecher Yisrael, you're the one who makes the Jews look bad, make them look disgusting. So Achav said, because this is what you caused to happen, and Eliyahu responds immediately, lo, yomer, lo acharti Yisrael, I didn't cause the Jews to look bad, ki imato, v'esavicha, v'azavchem, es mitzvos Hashem, v'tel achar yavolim, you're the one. In other words, the blame cannot be on the people who caused the consequences, the blame lies with the people who committed the act. And therefore, when we speak about issues that have in the Jewish community, we can't blame the people who are trying to disclose to change, but the blame lies with the people who actually have committed the act that will cause the Chil Hashem. And the Malvim points this out. The Malvim says, on that spot, Malachim Aleph, Perik Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, he says, the reason why this happened is not because of what I said, ki vavar mitzvah Hashem, because you went ahead and you violated the mitzvah of Hashem. He says, "Lavod elokim elohim acherim einam Yisrael." You're not like a Jew, rock a goy artzos. V'lo charti Yisrael. Aval atu beisavicha v'zabchem es mitzvah Hashem achartim Yisrael. Ki v'zal yu kugoyim. V'chein avsochas l'almatu gezardi v'chetam. It stems from you, not from me. I just help the consequences come along. And therefore, obviously, if a Chil Hashem is caused, we have to understand where the source of the problem is. Not the people who disclosed it, but the people who caused the problem. And interestingly enough, the Gemara actually, Masechta Shabbos of Lamed Gimel Aleph, so he says, the Gemara discusses Vavon Shvu Ashav, V'chil Hashem, V'chil Shabbos, Chayra Rabbehim, Akola of Nebim Esmatim, Adrachim Mishtomimim. So the Gemara there discusses what happens when there's a Chil Hashem. It's going to cause wild animals to come into land. There's going to be a disease which will kill the animals. People will suffer. And the roads will be desolate. And then Rashi there says, Chil Hashem. What's a Chil Hashem? Chil Hashem is Adam Gadol, Shnei Adam Lemeidim Heimenim, Eino Nizr B'masav. Chil Hashem is defined as the Rambam says, an Adam Gadol, that people learn from him, and he's not careful about his actions. And why? Because then people will see, this is how they act, this is the Torah, and they'll stop having respect for the Torah. And that's what the Chil Hashem is. When, because of your actions, people disrespect the Torah, that is a Chil Hashem. And then the Gemara Maseches Yuma goes further. And Gemara says there's actually no problem with going ahead and publicizing when something wrong is done. Gemara says, in Maseches Yuma, da peva mevet, that would be source number 6. Gemara says, mefarsim es chanafim nechil Hashem. He says, you're allowed to mefarsim. you're allowed to make public, to reveal to people about Chanofim, because of Chil Hashem. So it's interesting. So how does Rashi explain this? You're allowed to actually mefarsim because of Chil Hashem. So the when you make a public disclosure, according to the Gemara, it's not the public disclosure causes the Chil Hashem. The public disclosure will eventually prevent the Chil Hashem. So let's see what Rashi says. Shehein Rishoyim umarin atman k'tzadikim. They are Rishoyim and then show us how to be tzadikim. Im yesh makir b'masav. If anyone recognizes their actions, mitzvah lefarsimo, it's a mitzvah to publicize it, v'nechil Hashem. Why? Shevnei Adam lemeid v'masav, because people learn from their actions. Shesvur lov shu tzadik. For Od, he says, and also, and this is very scary, kishubola peronis ne'odam omer ma ho'olos chuso. If a peronis comes on a certain group of people who act improperly, they say, look, this person learned Torah, he davened, he kept Shabbos, and still he suffered. How does the Torah help somebody? So therefore, we have to mefarshim to understand this person who might act like he's a Torah Jew, he might learn, he might keep Shabbos, he might do all mitzvos, but really there's something lacking. And the more important reason is Rashi says in the first lashon, we have to know, people have to know, that when people act improperly, it doesn't make a difference how much Torah they know, it doesn't make a difference how much of an allegiance they pledge to the Torah. If you act improperly, you're not keeping the Torah. And that is a Gemara. And the Rambam passes Gemara up in Hilchas Deos, Parag Vav Alach Ches. The Rambam there is speaking about how to give Musar, how to give Tochacha to a person, to rebuke a person, for a person. And he says at the end that obviously you can't embarrass a person in public. And he says if someone embarrasses someone in public, it's an avon gadol. And then he says, therefore, be careful when you give tochacha, when you rebuke someone, to make sure you don't embarrass them if you don't have to. But medvar amurim, the last three lines of source number 8, the Rambam Hilchos Deos Parag Vav Alach Ches, v'dvarim sheben amru l'chaveiro. We're talking about someone does something wrong to me. Avol divrei shamayim. But when it comes to heavenly matters, and or someone else is being hurt, or maybe there's a theft involved. You can go ahead and you can actually expose it in public. As all the prophets did. So therefore, you're actually allowed to express it. And in some situations, a person can know, you know, unless you express this in public, nothing's going to happen. I have to tell you that a lot of people don't like the blogs, right? And it's true, I think sometimes the blogs can be a waste of time. They have to know how to control their time. It's true. However, one of the only reasons that the Jewish community, religious community in America, has made progress in terms of protecting children from molesters is because of the blogs, because they're able to get it out into the public view. And that's what the Rambam says. If someone's being hurt, so you have to do it in public. And he says, mecharfin, and whatever comes of it, you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to express this in public. That's the Rambam. However, that being said, the question is how we do it. So just be very careful. As I mentioned just very quickly, in Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos actually, source number 9, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a few simanim nisim for Moshe, and one of the nisim was in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Vav, Vayom Hashem lo od havei noyad chavechekecha, bring your hand into your bosom. He pulled his hand out. It was Mataras Kasheleg. And if Siktus Utrasa says, why did Moshe deserve this even for a minute, this punishment, that he would have leprosy on his hand? So the Chazal say, Shekol Hamotzi Shemra Lachaveiro Lokeba. If you're Motzi Shemra. But if you're Motzi Shemra. However, it's important to realize that speaking public disclosure does involve Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara sometimes is allowed. When is Lashon Hara allowed? It's allowed when there's a purpose. You want to correct, you want to fix. Number one, you have to make sure that definitely this will help in correcting the problem. In other words, that people realize we can't commit fraud, or people realize that they be careful what I do. And be careful that you mean total l'shem shemayim. However, I would like to continue in this idea of, you know, Chil Hashem. And there are a few Gemaras that deal with Chil Hashem. And this, by the way, is not the first time that this happened. There was, in the turn of the century, I mean the turn of the 20th century, all right? So there was a machlokas in Vilna. You know, Vilna for many years, since the time of the Vilna Gaon, never had a Rav. Never had a Rav. Because if the Gaon wasn't a Rav, how could anyone be a Rav? They had Dayanim. Anyway, at that time, at the turn of the century, so the Gadol in Vilna was Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski. I think hands down he was considered the Gadol. Whatever your Ashkafa was, he was considered the Gadol. And at that time, the Mizrahi in Vilna tried to appoint someone else to be a Rav. Also, Big Talmud Chacham, I forgot his name, and all the Gadolim went out against the Mizrahi at that point. As a matter of fact, the Marcheshes, who was connected to the Mizrahi, actually, I guess, resigned from the Mizrahi because he was so upset that they did this. And the Chavetz Chaim came out in strong support of Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski. And then someone wrote a letter to Chavetz Chaim. He wrote a letter. He says, how could you do this? It's a Chil Hashem. People are seeing about fighting. And the Chavetz Chaim said, the Makom, Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Chil Hashem, and Chokin Kavod L'Rav. That sometimes there's a Chil Hashem. And Chil Hashem, by the way, is defined as doing an Avera. We don't worry about Kavod. We don't worry about any other Cheshbonot. We do what we have to do to correct the situation. And what I'd like to do is to look now at those Gemarot that deal with this idea of Makom Kol Makom Sheyesh Chil Hashem, and Chokin Kavod L'Rav, to understand that sometimes you don't make the cheshbon and say, oh my gosh, it's going to cause a chalash, it's going to cause people to think bad about the Jews. So the first Gemara is a Gemara Maseches Brachos. And the Gemara says, after two testim aveis, I think it's a famous Gemara, someone's walking along the street. And as he's walking along the street, he's talking to somebody, and somebody says, oh my gosh, you're wearing that? That robe that you're wearing is shatness. You're over an Isser D'Oraisa if you wear that robe. Over to Sir Diarite if we wear that robe. So he says, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, number 11, Brachos Daf Yutet Amar Bet, Hamotzi Klayim Vivigdo, someone wearing Klayim, wearing shatness, and he finds shatness in his clothes. Poshen, you take it off, I feel of a shook even in the street. My time, what's the reason? He's going to be walking around the street. We're talking about, he'll be walking around, he won't be covered, he'll be naked. Can you think of a bigger Chil Hashem than that? That people look at the Jew, look like he's walking, it'll be so embarrassing? And Gemara says, quotes the pasuk, "Ein chachma, v'ein tvuna, v'ein eitzel neged Hashem." When something is going wrong, when someone's doing an avera, we don't ask any shailas. Kol makom sheyesh chil Hashem and chokin kavod l'rav. Where does the chil Hashem? And the chil Hashem could be appointing a rav who should not be appointed. It could be fraud. It could be some other misdemeanor that's being done. You don't ask questions. If that action itself is a Chil Hashem, ain't Chokin Kavod L'Rav. There are a few Gemaras like this. The Gemara Maseches Erev and Daf Samach Gimel Aleph, source number 12. Ravina Ahava Yosef Kamed Ravashi. Ravina was sitting before Ravashi. Chazya Lahu Gavra Deka Aser Leh Lechamre Bitsinta Bishavta. And Ravina saw a certain person that was tying his chamor, his donkey, to a palm tree on Shabbos. Halacha is you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Rama Veikala. So Ravina started shouting at him. You know, it's Chil Shabbos, below Ashkechte. And this person didn't pay attention to him. Amrle, he said, Lahave Hai Gavra Bishamta. So he said, Ravina says, this person should be put in Cherem, should be excommunicated. Excommunicated. Amr Leh, ki hai gavna. Then he said that, and he felt bad. Why? Because Ravina was sitting before his Rebbe Ravashi. And before your Rebbe, you can't pass in the halacha. So afterwards he asked, ki hai gavna. He asked his Rebbe, yes, Ravashi, Rebbe, ki hai gavna, mi mitchaza kefkarusa. Maybe it was chutzpah. Amr Leh, Ravashi said no, because Navera is about to be done. Ein chachma ve'ein tfuna ve'ein eitzel neged Hashem. When avera is about to be done, we don't ask any questions. Kol makom sheish bo chilul Hashem, which here again is not the chutzpah, but here it's the avera that's being done. Ein cholken kavod l'rav. And Rashi points out in source number 13, ein toras chachma ve'kavod u'tvuna. There's no such thing as chachma kavod and tvuna ve'yoetz. Omedes k'nei chilul Hashem. When there's a chilul Hashem and avera is being done, so we don't go ahead and ask any questions. Now, by the way, I'll be very careful of that because sometimes something might not be an avera and you might embarrass somebody. So you have to know. You have to know what's going on and whether the avera is going to cause a chilul Hashem. You have to understand that. But in other words, if you know it's going to cause a chilul Hashem, so then we don't ask questions. Right, this is a similar Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. Two more Gemaras. So he says like this, and this is a more famous Gemara, that when Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron, saw what Zimri and Cusbi were doing in the Midbar when they were having relations in public, a Jew with a non-Jewish girl, so he was very upset. So Vayar Pinchas, the Torah tells us Pinchas saw what happened, and he went ahead and he killed Pinchas and Cusbi. So the Gemara asks, Ma ra'a? What did Pinchas see? Ra'a ma'isa v'niskar halacha. He saw the ma'isa. And remember, the halacha is that you have to kill the person. So Amar lo, he says, Achi avi abba. Okay, which is his great uncle, Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kach li maratani b'riddicha mihar Sinai. Didn't you teach this to us when I came down from Har Sinai? Habol es hanachris. If someone has relations with a non-Jewish girl in public, Kanoim Pogumbo, so those who are Kanoim, those who are Zilots, are allowed to attack him. Amrlo, Kraina de Igrita Ihu Lahavi Farvanka. The person who reads the letter, he should carry it out. You kill him. So that was one shot. Shmuel Amar, he says, Ra, what did he see? He didn't ask any questions. Ra, he saw. And Shmuel says, once he saw, even though Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe, was standing there, he says, such a chil Hashem, ein chachma, ein tvuna, ein etzel neged Hashem, kol makom sheyesh chil Hashem, ein cholken kavod l'rav. And I'll point out that at that time, if you look at Rashi and Parshas Pinchas, the Jews criticized Pinchas. They say, who does this guy think he is? What? Then look at his ancestry. He came from Yisro, who stuffed calves for Avodah Zarah, and he can go ahead and kill. So even though the reaction was very quick and very sharp and very critical, speaking about it, it's a grandson of Aaron and Cohen, and they were critical. It doesn't make a difference. If you're doing the right thing, you do what you have to do. And that's Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. You can't ask any chashmonis. So one last Gemara that deals with this issue is a Gemara in Masechet Shavuos. So Amar Rava Bar Avuna, Hai Tzura Mirabanan, a young rabbi, a young Talmud Chacham, the Yadav Sadusa, every Talmud Chacham that knows certain testimony, the Zila Be Milsa, the Mezla Be Nina, the Zuta Mine La Sude Kame. A certain rabbi knows, a Talmud Chacham knows a certain testimony that helps somebody, his neighbor. However, if this neighbor's case is being tried before a certain Bezdin, and this Bezdin has a lower stature than this rabbi where he's at, and he feels embarrassed to go before these dayanim and humble himself before these judges. So Gemara says, Lo lays, doesn't have to go. Cover the Torah. Amar Rav Shesha Brei de Ravidi, Afanan Nami Tanina, I think the same way. Matzah Sak Okupa Vein Darko Lito. Let's say, for example, you're walking along the street. And you find something on the street belongs to somebody. And it would be beneath your honor to go ahead and to bring it back. You know, to bring it back would be beneath your honor to go ahead and to bring it back. And there are many examples you can give. Let's say, for example, I remember when my father first became sick and he had a lot of pain. So in order to alleviate the pain, he didn't want to take main penicillin. He had heard the editor of the Washington Post and Review, Norman Cousins, had come with this idea that you can deal with pain by humor. So he had suggested that maybe we should get a VCR. In those days, there were VCRs, anyone remembers? And we should rent for him funny videos. And he'll be able to watch the videos. The problem is that it didn't work because in order to understand and to the humor of these videos, you have to have a certain level of intellect. And my father was way above that. So he wasn't, we had to sit next to him to explain to him, you know, what was funny. But once you have to explain what was funny, you know, it doesn't work anymore. But anyways, so I had in my wallet, one of these cards from a video store. Okay. And what do you do with a card like that? You use it to underline, you know, in the Gemara. Okay. And one day, I guess I left it in the Beis Medrash in Shem University, and someone was over to me to return it, but also give me mussar. Like, he said, what's the matter with you? Like it was like, you know, so I really wasn't embarrassed. I explained what it was, but sometimes you can be involved in picking something up, and it could be embarrassing. Can you imagine a big Rosh Hashiva finds a bat on the floor and has to return the bat? What is Rebbe doing with the bat? So therefore, you don't return it. He said like this, Hani Mili, the Gemara goes on, Mamona, with money. I will be surah, but if there's an isser, if you have to testify to stop someone doing an isser, so en chachma vein tvuna vein zach Hashem kol mokshin chil Hashem en chokin kavod l'rav. Derech Eretz Kadm l'Torah says whatever it is, he says kavod l'Torah doesn't make a difference. If someone is going to be over an isser, that is the chil Hashem, and we don't ask any questions. We have to stop the chil Hashem. And again, the chil Hashem is not what you're doing. The chil Hashem is the vera that was done. The Ritva said that. So what's important is to notice the Ritva. So Ritva says, so when do you do this? When do you have to go? So Ritva says he has to go dafka the milsa the mekavlim saduse, source number 16. Only in a time when they accept the testimony. Kagon, for example, the ika achrina vahadei. In other words, let's say for example, a certain Talmud Chacham knows that someone did something wrong. And he has to go to a Bezdin, which is not in his eyes so respectable. He didn't want to go. So he has to go. But if he's going to be the only one testifying, and he knows based on that, nothing will be accomplished, then don't go. Or if it's a place where the Bezdin will actually, based on Eidus of one, they'll punish somebody, then if it's a Talmud Chacham, then it's okay. So therefore he says, that's the basic idea. In other words, again, to go and to do something which might not be so comfortable, you should only do it where you know something will be accomplished. If nothing will be accomplished, so then you're not allowed to do it. So for example, I told somebody at that time, someone said to me, why are they going to court? He says, the incumbent's going to win again, right? So I said, you know what? I said, it doesn't make a difference. Hopefully the next time, right, they won't be fraud. That's the point. He says, if this won't help and still fraud will be done and the same level as it was done, then you're right. We shouldn't go. We shouldn't make it public disclosure. That's what the Ritva points out. You can only do something like this to make a public disclosure if it's going to have a positive effect, if it will actually change something. If it's not going to change something, then probably better to be quiet. The Tosafot Rush asks the question. Tosafot Rush asks, he says like this. So let's look at the Gemara in Shavuos. What's the Gemara in Shavuos saying? Gemara in Shavuos says that if I know that I have testimony for somebody, I have to go to court. And even if it's humiliating to me, I still have to go. Okay? Why? Because, and therefore, I can't just sit pretty and say, I'm not going to do anything. So Tosafot asked the question, why? Because the Gemara Maseches Brachos, that was the first Gemara we asked the question. Gemara asks, let's say, for example, a person is going to go ahead and he's on his way to Shechta Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach. Or he's going to Shechta Korban Pesach. And then on the way he sees a mace mitzvah, a dead person lying there waiting to cover him. And he knows if he involves himself in burying this mace, he won't be able to Shechta Korban Pesach. And the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is very important. It's actually a mitzvah which involves a chi of kares if you neglect the mitzvah. And Gemara says, no, take care of the mace mitzvah. Gemara says, how about the Korban Pesach? So Gemara says, Shev al tasa shayni. You're right. In other words, it's not like he's doing something against the Torah. He's sitting pretty. So in other words, so therefore, when is the, he says, we won't tell somebody, he says, it's to tell someone to do an Aveira, and so that we're not going to tell them to do, but to sit, and it's won't be done, that's okay. So Tosfos Rashi asks the question, I don't understand, he says. He says, so the Gemara there seems to imply that we'll sometimes allow a person not to do a mitzvah, and that's not a chil Hashem. And here we're saying the Talmud Chacham, right? So we tell him also, we say to him, you know, can't sit pretty. What is it? Does chil Hashem force us not to sit pretty, as the Gemara here says, to sit? Or does chil Hashem force us that you have to go ahead and the Gemara in Shavuos implies that because of chil Hashem, you have to get up and move. And the Gemara in Bracha seems to apply. If you're not doing anything, we're not worried about chil Hashem. So Tosfos Rosh gives one answer, but the second answer I think is very important. If you look at four lines from the bottom, for Odiyesh, four lines from the top of the Makor number 17. For Odiyesh Lomar, the Kesha Osin Isura Al Yado. Lo mikri shevel taisa. If an isser is happening, it's not called the shevel taisa. Kaperish Rashi could go in isha abal with mechacham latir leinase. But tam chacham zeh yodei levay lachai. If an isser is happening because of you, so then that's not cool like you're sitting. So let's say, for example, if in a certain bezdin they're deciding whether a woman can remarry or not, then you have to know she's married already. And if you don't go and testify, she'll be able to remarry, right? So that means you're causing an avera, right? When it comes to money, okay. So it's not that big of an issue, but when Isser is being done, then it's definitely a big issue. So therefore, if a person knows that they can do something and they can stop an avera from being done, they can stop whatever it is, whether, as I said, whether it's molestation, whether it's theft, whether it's which is going to be an avera in the future, whether it's fraud. So then you're definitely allowed to have a chiyuv, actually, to go forward and to publicize what happened. In the first answer, Tosfos Rosh says that he speaks about a genai gadol. He says that, you know, sometimes we say it's okay not to do a mitzvah if it's not a genai gadol, right? But he says, when there's a genai gadol, when it'd be a very big disgrace, then you have to move forward to stop it from happening. And again, the same idea, when something is a genai gadol, a very big disgrace, you have to move forward. Okay, so we see from all these Gemaras, and the Chavetz Chaim himself quoted it, the Machum Chil Hashem, we don't ask any questions, we move forward, we do what we have to do to make sure that events like this don't happen in the future. I would just conclude this part of the shir with source number 18. And source number 18 is very important in regard to all issues. Source number 18 is the Ralbag, and Ralbag is speaking at the end of Sefer Yeshua. So the end of Sefer Yeshua, if you remember, after the Shevet Ruvein Gad, Chati Shevet Menashe, you know, went to the Eiver HaYarden, so they built a Mizbeach. And from the view of the Jews living on the mainland, on the other side of the Yarden, it looked like build a Mizbeach. You know, how could you build a Mizbeach? It was a time of Isser Bamos, and they felt that the Jews were separating, right? And therefore, instead of going ahead and sending an army, what did they do? They sent messengers to find out what was going on. So the Ralbag, many times, his style is to ask, why is the Navi telling us this story? Okay? So Ralbag says, and he gives many reasons. And the Ralbag says in source number 18, Vashmini, the eighth reason is, Hu she lamadnu meinyan shiluach pinchas venesiyim l'shvatim shayim eivar al yarden lachkor amitas ha'inyan kodem alosam lein l'tzava. So he says that before you send the army, you have to go ahead and you have to research and see if what you really thought is true is true. For hu kigam binyan v'shayachsho she'en lahamtin aleim lasosam kiim takeaf. Even certain issues you think are so important and so crucial that you shouldn't wait, that you have to immediately go and you have to take action. He says, Tzorach l'siyashev, to think about it first. Lachkor inyan halotira kilule zos hakira hayinimshach mizeh nezek rab balos bnei Yisrael letzav alachem. If the Jews had sent an army right away, it would have caused a lot of Jewish lives to be lost for no reason. He says, so he says, and he said, if a person could think, think that you shouldn't wait for these things, because it's against the Kadosh Baruch Hu that Pinchas mentioned. And we know that Pinchas himself did not ask Moshe Rabbeinu for an eitz, as we saw. He went right away because he says Kolach Shesh Kol Hashem Em Kol Kav L'Rav. So he's a Pinchas. We know when he killed Zimri and Cosby, he didn't wait. He went right away, took action. But sometimes he says you have to go ahead and you have to wait. He says you can ask all says, why did they ask Yeshua? However, whatever reason they ask Yeshua for this is that, but the bottom line we learn from this is that a person has to be patient before he takes action, he takes initiative. And then just to finish off, conclude the shir with two more makaros, I think it's a very important Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. And we spoke now that a person's allowed, but not only is a person allowed, but anybody who has the capability of moving forward has an obligation. There's a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Nundal and Al Beit. Gemara there says like this: Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva Masnu, Bechuli Yisera Moed. Okay, so mention the names. And it says, Kol Misha Efshar Limchos La'an Shebeisu La'micha. Anyone who's able to protest against the people of this house, do something wrong and doesn't, nitvas al anshe beiso, is guilty for the same aveira. But anshe iro, if someone can stop the people of a city from doing an aveira, nitvas, he is held guilt liable for the sin of an anshe iro. B'chol olam kulo, if someone is held accountable, that he will be able to stop anyone in the world from doing something wrong, nitvas al kol olam kulo. Amar Rapapa, Vahani Devei Resh Gelusa, those in the house Resh Gelusa, a lot of power, a lot of influence. Al Kul Nitfasu, Al Kuli Alma. Says, Kihodam Rab Chanina, Mai Dixiv, Mishpat Yavo, Imzikni Alma, Visarav, Sarum Chatu, Zikanim, Mai Chatu. The Pasin Yeshaya says that the officers and the Zikanim would be punished. Why? Ela Ema Al Zikanim, Shalomichu, Bisarim, but you have to go ahead and. And the Zekanim were punished because they didn't stop the officers. Amar le Rav Zeir Rav Simon, levachinu mar lahani the Reish Galusa. So he says, Rav Zeir said to Rav Simon, you should rebuke the members of the Reish Galusa. Amar le, he said to him, lo mekabli minoy, they won't accept it from me, they won't listen to me. Amar le, afagad lo mekabli, even though they won't accept it, you should rebuke them. Why? So, Gemara says something fascinating. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something bad is going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always recall it. However, whenever something happens, and many times when the Nevi HaSheker argued with Miriam, he always says, I hope you're right. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something good, he never recalls the good promise that he gave. Except for one situation. What situation? In Yecheskel Tes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, go besochir, and put a tuff on the forehead of these people, right? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gavriel, a tuff shall dio on certain one, right? On the righteous ones, and a tuff of blood on those who are wicked. Why? So the Malachi Chavala, the angels of destruction, will see who's wicked, and will punish those who have this letter of blood on their forehead. So Gavriel asked, Gavriel, he says, Man nishtana elam elu, amraluhu halalu tzadikim gemurim, valalu rishoyim gemurim. So he says, the ones who have the tuff of blood are rishoyim gemurim. The ones who have the tuff of dio are tzadikim gemurim. So amraluhu, he said, so Gavriel said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, they should have stopped them. Why are they, the tzaddikim should have stopped the Rishayim? Why are they innocent? Why are they getting away without any punishment? See, Hashem said, Goli, I know that they wouldn't have listened. So he says, Amr Lefanav Rabbanu Sha'olam, Im Lefanecha Gola, you might know, but did they know? And therefore, since they didn't know and they didn't try, they're also held liable. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, whatever we can do, and whatever area it is to somehow to correct misdemeanors within Klal Yisrael, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to go ahead and to do it. And sometimes a person shouldn't think that he's so modest. Someone actually told me a story last week. I have to tell you, I don't want to get into particulars of the story, but I think it was in the '80s. Someone was in the car with Avara Lichtenstein Shlita, and. And they were discussing a certain issue that was going on, maybe I think it was in America. America and Yeshiva University. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein turned to this person sitting too and said, It's a terrible thing, but what can I do? What can I do? Now, for any of those who know of Aaron Lichtenstein, I don't know that well, but he's a very big anav, very modest. Okay, in other words, and there's some people who act modest, but his essence, he's modest. So the person turned to Aaron Lichtenstein and said to him, listen, he says, I don't know. I don't know what you know, what you don't know. Maybe you don't know anything. You think you don't know anything. He says, but the world out there believes that you know all the shas. The world out there believes that you are a leader. And therefore, you can stop it. They'll listen to you. And actually, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein actually made a statement, and he stopped it. And that's what the Gemara here is saying. Gemara said, if you believe that you can stop something, you have an obligation to stop it. Now, I'll just conclude with Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Gimel. Ko amar Hashem, Eli, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu, Haloch v'kanisa, Ezor pishtim, v'samto masnecha v'mayim lo savo. Go buy yourself a belt of linen, of flax, and put it on your loins, and don't wash it in water. So Yirmiyahu says, Veknes Ezor, Kidvar Hashem, I went ahead and I acquired the belt, Kidvar Hashem, and I put it on my masnai, Vayhidvar Hashem, Eli, Sheinisle Mor, Kacha as Ezor, right? Asher Kanisa, Al Masnecha, Vakum Lech, Vatamneu Hashem, Vakia Sela, go to this place and bury this belt by the rock. Ve'elech v'atminu b'parasa k'shativa Hashem osi, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, and pasuk vav, v'yimik heijam rav, v'yom rav Hashem elai, kum lech parasa v'kam, kach misham v'se'ezor shizvicha l'tam v'sham. Then a certain number of days, I'm not sure how long it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu, go back to that place and dig up this belt. Ve'elech pasuk zayin, he went there, ve'echpor ve'kach v'se'ezor v'namakam asher tamanti v'shama, v'inei nishcha se'ezor yislechlal. The belt fell apart. What's the symbolic significance of this story of the belt? Because I heard, someone heard in the shir from somewhere else, that the idea is like this. If you have a belt, and you wear your belt all the time, you hang it out in the sun, it should survive. If you take the belt and you bury it, then it falls apart. And that's the significance here. And the same thing with Klal Yisrael, our problems. If we hang our problems out in the sun for people to see, we don't bury our head in the sand, we don't try to bury the problems, so then we can fix the problems. We can correct the situation. But if we bury it, then the belt will fall apart. And the message of Yirmiyahu is very clear that the days of the Bayis Rishon, it all began, they tried to bury problems. There was no public disclosure. However, public disclosure is very important for the future of Klal Yisrael. So not only is it not Achil Hashem, as I pointed out, because Achil Hashem is done by the action, not by repeating what happened. Lashon Hara it might be, because it might be, but it's for Toelis, so it's okay. And for the person who does the Aveira himself, he causes the Chil Hashem. And whatever the consequences are of the Chil Hashem, you know, of this, we can't ask, because B'makom Chil Hashem and Postin Kavala Rav, we have to stop him from doing an Aveira, so we have to stop, whatever it is. And, you know, and the idea is that people will learn that they can't commit acts which are usser, then for that itself, it's worth it. Only with being very careful to know when to disclose, how to disclose, and obviously, if that's the only way is to stop the problem, so then that's the procedure that should be taken, and they'll be able to deal with the problems that some of the problems Klal Yisrael has. I think it's something very important that it's very important to Jews to always think what causes the Chil Hashem, what causes the Kiddush Hashem. It's a very beautiful thing to always Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but sometimes if you're worried about Chil Hashem, you won't be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. But I think when Jewish people show that they're worried about the problems that exist, problems of morals and ethics, and they stay up, and this is what the Torah stands for, what we're speaking about, not what other people act, that could be the biggest Chil Hashem, a Kiddush Hashem the person can make. Everyone should have a wonderful Chodesh Shvat. Yeah. How you doing? How long are you here for?
In the winter, left the port.
Okay, very good.
Staying for where?
I think so.
I don't miss the smell of the cold. I don't know the rest of the next word. Get upset. Please don't get upset. You're getting warning. They're talking about it. Why do you does this. Right. It's going to go on forever, you know?
Show me the
letter. I want to tell you how far back we go.
Okay.
You and I.
Okay.